this evening. If you turn with us, open the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Book of Galatians, chapter number 5. I was glad to see the grandbaby get home this evening, and thank y'all for praying for her. I'm grateful for that. You know, when you get calls and texts from people, when you're there in the room, and you're on your way home, and you're at night, it goes a long way. And I'm glad we've got a church family that'll pray one for another tonight. I'm glad we don't have a church that has a form of religion. I'm not caught up in politics, and I'm not caught up in the things of the world. I just want what God wants for us in our church and in your life and my life. I want to deal with a subject tonight, maybe a little unusual, but very needful in my life, and I trust that it will be in yours. It's found in the book of Galatians, chapter number 5 and verse 17. Paul's writing to the church of Galatia. They had a bad problem with the things of the flesh. It seemed like that all the preachers that were coming in were just preaching the law to them. The law, law. They knew very little bit about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you always remember this. The law shows us we're a sinner, but grace saves us. And grace takes us further into the kingdom of God. And here Paul says in Galatians 5 and verse 17, for the flesh. Ooh, I wish that wasn't even in the Bible. But the reason it's in the Bible, because we all got some of that. The flesh. And you always remember this, the flesh is not saved. And so the flesh lusteth, or it wars against the Spirit. Every day in our life, as you awake, you ought to realize there's a warfare going in you. The flesh and the spirit. And if you're going to live in the world and be part of the world, you know nothing about this concept that I'm preaching. But when you try to sell yourself out to the Lord and be used to Him, you're going to find out it's going to be a struggle for you. And so he says, the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, I'm glad the Spirit of God is in me tonight, and it won't just let my flesh do any kind of way. I'm glad my flesh is not out of control. I've got some issues with flesh, but I'm glad the Spirit of God lives in me and convicts me and steers me into the right paths. And we've all got issues. There's nobody here. Don't think nobody couldn't work on the flesh. Because we can. And then the Bible says this. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest or revealed in 19. Which are these? These are works of the flesh. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness or lack of restraint. I hear a lot of people hammering people about this and that, but you know, you can take anything to excess. Idolatry. Witchcraft. Fortune tellers of the devil. And I don't care what you think or your grandma thinks. Amen. It's of the devil. Witchcraft. Then watch this. Hatred. Variance. And here's a word I want you to underline. I'm going to deal with it. Emulations. That word means jealousy. Wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, and here's the other Bible word I want to deal with tonight. Envyings simply means envy. You can be seated tonight. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together this evening. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Thank You for the house of God that we can come together. Thank You for the Word of God that we can still read, that is still real and still relevant in this day and this hour. Now help us in the teaching tonight. I pray, Lord, You'd let us be a blessing. Set an angel of watch about me, God, that I wouldn't say anything that You wouldn't be pleased with. Help us in the Word of God tonight. Spirit of God, move. Help us in our hearts and help us with our flesh. Help us with our minds and help us with our spirit. And we'll be grateful to You In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. I'm interested tonight on the twin sins of jealousy and envy. Twin sins of jealousy and envy. Now, you'll notice that the Bible uses the word emulations. If you look that up in your Bible concordance or in the Greek, you'll simply find out it is jealousy. You punch in the computer and you look under the definition of jealousy in Webster, and he'll give you this definition: intolerant rivalry, hostile toward a rival or one beloved or believed to enjoy an advantage. In other words, the definition is rivalry. It's intolerant rivalry. And then the word envy means this: resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Can I say that again? Resentful awareness of an advantage enjoyed by another. Malice or begrudging. You know, everybody can't enjoy your blessing. Sound man, turn me off just a minute because he may listen to it. I don't want him to think I'm calling him out because I'm not going to call him. Now, I want to deal with three things tonight on jealousy and envy. I want to deal with the expression of jealousy, the exposure of jealousy, and I think I got a good Bible lesson tonight, and the extinguishing of jealousy. Now, I look this up and I want to read them that we all can relate to on jealousy. This is some great quotes. I love quotes. I want you to notice this on this quote of no doubt of this expression of jealousy, and listen to it. The worst part of success is trying to find someone who's happy for you. There's a man told me something one time, and I bet you I've said it to 100 preachers. He's in this building tonight. This is what he said. If anybody's ever told me something that I've ever seen come to pass, this is so. He said, "Brother Ken, folks will forgive you for anything except being successful." I could dismiss, but I got a whole lot more to preach. Now listen to me. The worst part of success is trying to find someone who's happy for you. Now isn't it silly to think that tearing someone down builds us up? Envy. Resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Resentment's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. Anger and resentment and jealousy doesn't change the heart of others. It only changes ours. A lot of people get, watch this. Now this is an amazing thing, right? I had to think when this feller said this. A lot of people get so hung up in what they can't have that they didn't think for a second about whether they really want it or not. Some of y'all think bad of me, but when we had a place at the lake, we bought a pool table to go in the bottom. We didn't gamble. We played pool. And so like a swimming pool, amen? That's my business. At my house, none of your business. And I thought I wanted a pool table till I got one. And then, oh, if we could just get a swimming pool. But I didn't think that process out. I wish I could move it from my house to your house. Now, you can only be jealous. Listen now. You can only be jealous of someone who has something you think you ought to have yourself. Y'all look like you need some preaching back here tonight. You can only be jealous of someone who has something you think you ought to have yourself. Some of y'all looking around saying, "Man, I wish they was here." Send them a tape. Now, often those that criticize others reveal what themselves lack. most haters are stuck in poisonous mental prisons of jealousy and self-doubt that blinds them to their own potentiality. Stop worrying about someone taking your spot. God already has it reserved. And do the work to get there and fulfill it. When you understand who you are by knowing what God created you to do, you have no room for becoming jealous over what someone else is doing or being. Be careful what you wish for. It may turn out that making the wish was the only good part of it. If people are jealous of you, it means you're worth something. If you just can't get rid of envy, then start building a life so that if you saw yourself from afar, you'd be envious of you. Those who envy the success of others are normally ignorant to the sacrifices and failures and dedications it took to get them there. Have I lost you already? I ain't even been on this thing 10 minutes. Let me say that. Those who envy success of others, they're normally real ignorant of the sacrifices, failures, and dedications that it took to get them there. This ought to perk all our ears up. Statistics say this: more people die with jealousy than cancer. Jealousy contains more of self-love than of love for others. Passion, be careful. Passion can quickly slip into jealousy. There's nothing wrong with anybody having passion or drive or desire. Matter of fact, you won't accomplish much in this life if you don't. But be careful. Your passion can slip into jealousy. This example: you've been working on your job long as they have, but they get the promotion. Well, when you're doing all you can do, and I've heard Brother Randy teach this before, God being sovereign, and what a good God He is, He has things in place for us that we do, and the gifts He's given us. And that God has for you, nobody else can get it. You need to understand that tonight. Jealousy can mount up in the workforce. There are many homes divided because of jealousy. When you become so jealous over your spouse, and man, you're setting a watch, and they've left work at 5, and you won't know where they're 5:18, and jealousy is absolutely eating you alive, it'll divide your home. Jealousy can divide a church. At the singing talent that we've got in this church, I want to say something right now for Brother David and Brother Tim. They can't call on everybody every Sunday to sing. And in a musician role, if you can play and if you can work in a sound, but whatever your talent is, you remember this, there's room for everybody. Nobody can get ahead of you if you realize God's got you in the spot. Preachers can become so jealous. And if you don't think that the devil don't use jealousy in preachers, you just ain't been around too long. And so we've got to realize this thing of jealousy. It can surface in our heart at any moment and in our life at any time. Now, we've seen the expressions of jealousy, but let's look at what the Bible says about the exposure of jealousy. If you'll turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 1. In Genesis chapter number 4 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And here's the phrase, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why are ye angry? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? In other words, God said, if you would come as Abel's came by sacrifice, by blood sacrifice, I'd receive you. But yet Cain wanted to do it his way, by the way of religion, by the way of works. And so there, he said, thou doest well. Sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shalt be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, here it is in verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and came to pass where they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. I want to say tonight on this exposure of jealousy, number one, don't stoop yourself. Don't stoop yourself to say bad things about somebody else and your brother. You always remember this, friend. If you're throwing rocks, you're always losing ground. And I want to say this. Words can kill without drawing blood. Behind a computer screen, many times, there's words of hatred shot out just because of jealousy and animosity and envy. And it's easy to put something on a computer screen. You know what a coward is, don't you? A coward's somebody that talks to everybody else but you. Some of y'all shut me down when I give you them mechanics a while ago. Look, don't stoop yourself. Don't kill your brother. And it's easy for you sometime when somebody you don't like, and I want to say this right here, most of the time in your workplace, in your home place, or in your church place, if there's somebody that gets under your skin, the reason is they're a mirror to you. And the only way you can change it is to change you. God gave me this a while ago. If you're always looking at somebody and they're bothering you, then it means it's a mirror you're looking into. And you're just like them. And the only way to change the situation is to change yourself. Y'all weak, I'm still going to preach these other 3 points. You can't change them, but if you change yourself, they might not bother you so bad. Number 2, don't stoop yourself. Don't throw rocks at people. Be kind to people. Young people, don't get caught up in the wrong crowd. There's a preacher friend called me the other day. They got a new talk box on iPhone. I said, a talk box? He said, yeah, you can get in a circle. And said, man, they giving somebody down the road. I said, let me tell you something, my brother. The best thing that you can do is erase your name off the talk box and get out of that conversation. And you better realize that them words damage people. That Bible said in the book of James, the tongue is a deadly poison, and who can tame it? I've said things to my wife I wish I'd never said when I was younger, and I couldn't take them back. Words are like a bullet in a gun. When they're fired, they're already shot. And the best thing you can do is, like Barney said, zip it. Amen. This is what I've noticed. Somebody talks all the time. They don't know much. But if you want some good advice, go to somebody who don't talk much. They'll tell you, first of all, you talk too much. I've got in trouble because I've talked too much. It's quiet tonight. I'm still going to preach a while. Don't stoop yourself. 1 Samuel 18, look at this thing. This is an amazing Bible concept. 1 Samuel 18, verse number 1. 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 1. Not only don't stoop yourself, don't stir yourself. 1 Samuel 18, look at Saul and David. Saul had the kingdom. He was head and shoulders above every man in the tribes. He had it going on. Saul had a position that only God could give him. There was a young lad, boy, came on a battlefield named David. He picked up a sling and a stone and he killed Goliath. He was a great warrior, just a young man. Saul had the whole kingdom. God starts prospering David. Let's look at Saul. The Bible picks him up. In 1 Samuel 18, verse 1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. They took a covenant. In verse 5, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. David was just doing what he was ordered to do. And he behaved himself wisely. That's where I want to get into. I want to behave myself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. Came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. Now verse 7. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000. Look, here's the word, verse 8. Saul was very wroth. Saul done okay with the first verse when they was singing about him. But when somebody got to singing about somebody else, he couldn't take it. Always remember this. When you're offended, it's for one reason. You thought too much of yourself. They said, Saul has killed his thousands. Saul's killed his... Boy, I bet he perked up. He said, you the man. And all of a sudden... But the second verse went like this, but David is 10,000. See, isn't it amazing the way that Saul had everything, had the world by the tail, so to speak. Had the throne, he had armies, he had everything. He had the presence of God about him. But he let jealousy rise in his heart, and it cost him the kingdom. Matter of fact, this is what the Bible says. Verse 9, and Saul eyed. I looked up that word in the Greek tonight, eyed. You know what it simply means when Saul eyed David from that day forward? To watch with jealousy. You see, when the devil puts that kind of spirit in you, you'll never find anything right about nobody. You're just looking at some kind of way that envy kicks in that you can get back at them. Be careful with that. God can't bless that kind of attitude. If you're on the job, you're doing your work, just keep working for the Lord. God's going to bless you for it. If somebody's getting more medals and more badges and more awards than you are, maybe they're getting all the escalades. Well, just remember this. What's God entrusted us with? Now, I want to say this tonight. Number one, don't stoop ourselves. And secondly, don't stir ourselves. Don't get out of sorts at somebody else that's being blessed. You know something? The evidence of a good leader is putting those around him or her that makes other folks look good. Be careful on the ladder as you start climbing the ladder. Be careful them rungs that you're stepping on. Be careful with them people that you're working with every day that you're stepping on. You may need them when you come back down from up there. Saul had the kingdom. And he got jealous because God was using... You wouldn't be jealous if God was using somebody else, would you? Would you get upset at somebody else that God was singing more than you? Would you get upset at somebody's preaching more than you? There's a preacher coming to the camp meeting on Thursday night, the Lord willing. That man will turn down more meetings a year than I get to preach. I don't know how many meetings that God's opened the doors for me this year, but you know that I'm gone quite frequently. But this is the mindset in preaching and in church a lot of times. Well, why aren't they calling me for them big meetings? That may be the main reason they're not calling you. You see, I want to see him do good. And I want to see you do good. It don't bother me for somebody. If I pull up my friend in my GMC, I thank the Lord for it. I was down in Kentucky preaching the other day, and there was a horse and a wagon come by. I took a picture. I said, thank God for GMC. Somebody say amen. Somebody pulling you by a Mercedes, you say, look at them. If a woman comes in and got her nice new pocketbook, amen. I wish I could find me one somewhere. My wife and girls ain't here tonight, but I guarantee you they got one with some bling on it, amen. And a lot of times women will come in a new outfit, a new purse. Some of y'all are saying, look at her. You just want the pocketbook. Look at that dress. Well, honey, if you'd quit shopping at the half price rack, you'd quit getting half of a dress. You see, what we ought to realize is God's been good to us individually. We ain't got no room to be upset at nobody else. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Don't stoop yourself. Don't stir yourself. Don't get upset at everybody. Saul eyed David from that day forward. And then 1 Kings 21. Did y'all notice this other morning when Brother Dana was preaching? 1 Kings 21 on the passage, not for sale. Turn with us, if you would, 1 Kings 21. I'm going to show you what I found this evening. I want to say don't stoop yourself. Don't stir yourself. Don't get all stirred up at somebody. And just be glad of what God's entrusted you and me with. And I want to say thirdly, don't sell yourself. Now in 1 Kings chapter 21, look what happens. Came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. He had everything. Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it's near to my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give you the worth of it in money. He said, let's make a deal. Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid it me that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto me. He said, I ain't giving you this. This was handed down. It's some things that ought not be for sale. And then he says this, and Ahab came into his house. Look at verse 4. It makes him sick. Did you know jealousy can make you sick? Look what happened in verse 4. Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him. For he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down on his bed and turned away his face and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, he is a henpecked little feller, came to him and said, "Why is your spirit so sad that you eat no bread?" He said, "Because I spake to Naboth, give me the vineyard for money or else, and if it please thee, I'll give you another." And he answered, "I'll not give you my vineyard." He is wanting something that somebody else had that wasn't his. Jezebel, his wife, said to him, "Dost thou not now govern the kingdom of Israel? Don't you own everything? Well, just go down there and get it. Arise, eat bread, let your heart be merry. I'll give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite." So she wrote letters into Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent them out to the nobles. This is what she said: "I want you to stone this man. You kill Naboth. And you bring him down, and then that way Ahab can get the property." So we find in verse 14, they sent to Jezebel saying, "Naboth is stoned and is dead." Came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, Jezebel said to Ahab, "Arise, take possessions of the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive but dead." Now look, verse 17. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria." Now here's a Bible principle. Don't miss it because I'm fixing to move on. "Behold, he's in the vineyard of Naboth, whether he has gone down to possess it." Now even though Naboth had died, Ahab got Naboth's vineyard. What's the thought there, preacher? You see, what God has for you, nobody else can get it. I don't care if they buy it or they steal it, it was still Naboth's vineyard. Church, tonight we've got to realize that God has us placed in places of responsibility, in places of sovereign order, and if that's our place, nobody else can get it. You may die for it, but it'll still be yours. Your name will still be on it. So I want to say this. Now look what the Bible says. It picks up now, and this is where I got the thought. Verse 25. "There was none like unto Ahab," here it is, "which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord." I want to say tonight, don't stoop yourself, don't stir yourself, and don't sell yourself. You know, I know a lot of times you may be wanting something, and there's nothing wrong, as I said, to have passion. But you remember this, somebody that's trying to get your spot, they can't get it from you because God's give it to you. And I like what I think Brother Randy was teaching the other night. There's room for everybody. Amen. I know I'm preaching right. She's quiet tonight. You see, don't sell yourself. Don't sell yourself to new ideas and things that'll try to get something that's not yours. They're not yours. They're not mine. Be content with what God's given you. And be proud of it and cherish it. Think about what Naboth had, but one little piece of ground he didn't, and it drove him insane. It's not worth it, folks. Listen to your old preacher tonight. Life is short. And it's too short to go around with a chip on your shoulder about what somebody else has got and what you ain't got. Lastly, don't stoop yourself. Don't stir yourself. Don't sell yourself. But I want you to look over here in the book of Psalms. And he closes this in Psalms 37. He says, don't stress yourself. Psalms 37. Look what the Bible says. It's amazing what's in this old book. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou, here's the word, envious against the workers of iniquity. Well, preacher, they sell drugs, they cheat and swindle, they lie and do all of this, and look what they're getting. Oh, you hadn't seen the end of the payday yet. You see, young people, there's something that America is not preaching in leadership that's always going to be the way it is. There's nothing like a good days of honest work. And you're going to have to work in order for God to bless you. And now notice this. For they shall soon be cut down. God's got a lawnmower. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Do you see that in verse 4? Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. You listen to me, people. A lot of you know my past. You know where I am. I walked out of a great job. But I'm going to tell you why I walked out. God pushed me out. And I'm going to say this. There is nothing in this world tonight that I want that I don't have. I've got everything I want, the desires of my heart. All I want to do is preach and pastor this church and travel and preach and be a grandparent. What? Can money buy that? It's okay to have things. Just don't let things have you. Don't let them become your God. This is what will happen. God will start blessing you so much. You got to lay out a church to enjoy the blessings, you think. I've seen it time after time. Y'all listening to your preacher tonight? Is this Bible preaching? Fret not yourself. Don't stress yourself. And now I want to say lastly, there's the expression of jealousy. There is the exposure of jealousy. We had four Bible faults there. Now lastly, the extinguishing of jealousy. Look in Proverbs 6 and 34. Preacher, how do I get over this thing of envy? How do I get over being resentful or begrudging people or hostile toward an arrival? Well, in Proverbs 6 and 34, look what the Bible says. For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance. He will not regard any ransom, neither will he rest content, though thou givest many gifts. I want to ask you something tonight in Luke 15, and I close. The elder brother, he was eat up with a jealous spirit. You've heard me preach the prodigal, no telling how many times in this Bible, in Luke 15. But I want you to look at the elder brother. His younger brother had went into a far country and had spent it all, wasted his inheritance. And he came back home. And look at the attitude of the bigger brother. Verse 25 of Luke 15. Now his elder son was in the field. As he came and drew nigh the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. He was angry, would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He answered and said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve you. Neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. Yet thou never gavest me a kid that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son, didn't call him his brother, but he's so mad, he's so angry, and he's so stinking jealous. He said, Thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots. Thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, here's the key verse. Son, thou'rt ever with me. And listen to me tonight, church, at Liberty Baptist Church, in this flock, listen. And that all I have is thine. He said, Son, you've got everything. He said, anything that you've ever needed, I've seen you got it. Now, why have you got an attitude with somebody that's come home and that's your brother? And you, by the way, I want to ask something. Why didn't the brother try to go see about him? Why didn't the brother, why wasn't he there when he welcomed him in? Listen, let this speak to our heart tonight. He said to him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all I have is that. When somebody pulls up in you in a brand new car and a brand new outfit and got a brand new promotion, say, Lord, you've been good to me. It's quiet. Let me go back over here. When somebody pulls up and I wish Miss Renee was here tonight. She tickled me. She went down to Harry's car wash about 5 years ago, and Renee's got a nice little old car. We call it her luxury sedan. And she loves a little old car. I wouldn't ride in it unless I had to walk somewhere. Amen. I hit my head in the thing every time I get in it and want to do ugly stuff when I do that. I know none of y'all have them issues, but I'm just telling you, preacher got some issues. Harry shined it up. Give that $20 package special, you know, tire shine. Pulled that thing out. Man, she was looking across the hood. It's looking so good. And she said, there's a woman pulled up in a brand new STS Cadillac. And she said, honey, my car sure did look good till she pulled up beside of me. Why you say that? You know what she done? She turned her head and she said, thank you, Lord, for my luxury sedan. Amen. Is your preacher not preaching right tonight? We all got this in us. I was at a camp meeting the other day, and I know y'all don't know a lot about preachers, but it's my life. Brother Alan Kirk got up, and that big old boy, you ever seen a boy about 6, 7, 8, 4 something get happy? I mean, he'd just jar the whole building when he jumps. You know, Brother Allen gets excited, man. He's throwing him. Boy, he preached the house down. The boy had to get up and preach behind him. You know what that boy said, Brother Joe, Brother Adam, Brother Mike? You know what that boy said, Brother Adam went to sit down? That's what he said.